First piece is the Shem Yishmuel, a Hasidic insight into the Parsha. Actually, what we're going to deal with tonight, there are a lot of mitzvahs in Parsha Ki Tetzeh. And because of that, a lot of the discussion in the Meforshim and the Medrash is about the concept of mitzvahs themselves. The ethic of, so I want to get into a little bit the ethic of a mitzvah. We're going to start with the Shem Yishmuel, and he focuses on one of the mitzvahs is Shiluach HaKan in this week's parsha. The mitzvah of
sending them up a bird.
If you come across a nest of birds and you want the chicks, or you want the eggs, you first have to send the mother away, and then you can take the eggs. We're not going to get into that mitzvah. Years past, we have discussed that mitzvah in particular. In death, we're not doing that tonight. But he takes off on this here because, let's see, he starts off, the Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says, quotes a pasuk, this pasuk, Orech Chaim pen tifeles, no'u me'agloteha lo teda. It's a very strange pasuk. It's in the fifth chapter of Proverbs, of Mishlei. And essentially what it means is if you make your Orech Chaim, your life style patterned after wayward people, then it causes you to wander and you lack knowledge. Again, a very kind of an obscure pasuk, hard to understand, but he's trying to make sense out of this pasuk. Mahu Orech Chaim, what is the way of life, pentifales, that you will wander? Amar Rav Abba Bar Kahana, the rabbi says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Lo tehe, he's explaining, the Medrash is explaining, this is what this pasuk means. Lo tehe yoshev u'mishakel b'mitzvoteha, shel Torah. Don't sit and try to figure out the weight of the mitzvot, right? Whether this mitzvah is an important mitzvah, this mitzvah is not an important mitzvah. Ke'inyin shenemar, as it says, v'shakishekel b'peles ha'arim, use the same word. V'lo tehe omer, and don't say, Hoyel v'ha mitzvah zu gedola aniosa. This mitzvah seems to be big, important stuff. That I'll do. Because, kach lo gila HaKadosh Baruch Hu matan scharon shel mitzvot. And for that reason, God does not reveal the reward for mitzvot. Because once you start seeing the reward, you say, well, this mitzvah is worth, you know, $1,000. This mitzvah, the punishment is death. This mitzvah is just, you know, a patch and ponim, you know, you get a little, you know, so this maybe is not as important, right? So that's why, chutz mishtei mitzvot, except for two mitzvahs. There are only two mitzvahs in the Torah where the reward is written. Hachamura shebechamurat, the most severe mitzvah, the most serious mitzvah, v'hakala shebekalot, and the most insignificant mitzvah. What's the most significant mitzvah?
Kibud av
ve'ein, honoring mother and father. Chamura shebechamurot. This is the most serious of all mitzvot, because it's interpersonal. It's dealing with people, between people, and between the most intimate of people, the closest relationship. The relationship of generations of Dorot. Umatan schara arichot yamim. And the schar for this mitzvah is long life, right? To honor parents, that laman yarichun yamecha ve yitavlach, and that it'll be good for you, right? And hakala shebekalot, what is the most, in all seemingly insignificant mitzvah? Shiluach hakein, sending away the mother bird. Because also we say by that mitzvah, we say, you know, shaleich teshaleich et ha'ein, you know, kitav yitavlach v'harach teyamim. It shall be good for you, and you'll have length of days. Incidentally, it's interesting to note that in these two mitzvot, the two rewards are interchanged. Because by kibud av ve'ein, it mentions the reward will be long life, and it'll be good for you. By sending away the mother bird, it says it will be good for you and you will have long life. It's an interesting switcheroo around there. What does that mean? So perhaps we can understand it that if one honors parents, so he is extending the generations. He's extending, and that's in a sense the reward for honoring parents is arichat yamim. Arichat yamim is extending life, extending the generations. Because you have shown kavod to generations before you, your time, you'll be given longer life in the future. Because you have given kavod to the extension of life in your history, in your family history, meaning your parents. So that your arichut yamim. So it is a mitzvah of arichut yamim, so to speak. So that comes first. And yitavla, and it will be good for you. You'll be rewarded. Shiluch HaKeng is dealing with an animal, right? What are the reasons for this mitzvah? Obscure. One reason is it's a kind of animal experimentation in spirituality and in sensitivity. By treating the animal properly, we learn, by treating the bird properly and having rachmanis on the bird, we learn how to give rachmanis to human beings. If the Torah goes so far to be concerned about a mother bird, so alachat kama v'kama, how much more so for in the human condition, right? So there, it'll be good for you. And v'harachta yamim, and you'll get long life. But the mitzvah inherently does not relate to long life. So the harachta arichas yamim comes last, not first. Okay, that's kind of an aside. So now, the implication of this is that all mitzvahs are equal. There's a level playing field on all mitzvahs. God does not give us the schar, the reward, doesn't tell us what the schar is. So you have to deal with all mitzvahs on the same level, right? You got to do everything. You got to. That's what. So, but then he asks a question on that. Yesh mitbonen. Is this really true? Lama be'emet scharan shava. Why should the reward be equal? V'halo mishnah shlema shaninu. There's a mishnah in Pirkei Avot, right? This is the season for Pirkei Avos. Lefum tsara agra, right? According to the tsar, is the schar. The harder it is to perform a mitzvah, the greater the reward. So. V'kfar dibarnu b'zeh, as we've spoken about this. V'nira odlamar, I want to say something else. Dihinei, the Talmud says, it's a Gemara in Kedushin, schar mitzvah b'hayal maleka. The Talmud says very clearly that the reward for mitzvahs is not in this world. Uleman yitavlach, it shall be good for you, v'harach di yamim. What does it mean you will have length of days? Pir Shuzal, the rabbis explain, la'olam shekulo tov, in the world that is only good, ula'olam shekulo aroch, and the world that is eternal, zeh olam haba. So the ultimate reward for mitzvahs is not in this world. Arichas yamim here is not talking about length of days. If I do a lot of mitzvahs, I'm going to live to 160 years old. It means that in the olam ha'emet, I will have arichas yamim, right? V'hine, olam haba, ein ayin lo ra'ata, elokim zulatcha. Nobody has seen it. Nobody has come back to give us a report. You know, like the men that went to the moon, they came back and gave us a report. Nobody has gone to olam haba and come back and told us what it's all about. V'hu davar shebilti efshar letzayer. It is a world, an experience that is impossible to identify. And to quantify, let's say here, to quantify, lifnei shochnei batei chomer, to people like us who live in this material olam hazeh, this finite world, impossible for us to really grasp what an infinite world is. U'kemo shekatav Rambam, as the Rambam writes, shohu keshem she'i efshar letzayer lifnei hasuma, it's impossible to describe to a Nebuch, a blind person, someone who is sight challenged, Mileda Umibeten, someone who is born blind, Hamare, you cannot describe, it's hard to describe a physical entity to such a person. V'lifnei hacheresh, Noam hakolot v'haneginot, and to try to explain music, the sound of music, to someone who cannot hear. Right, who's deaf. Just, it's impossible. Can't do that. The same way, how do you explain Olam Haba to us finite people? How do you explain it? V'yesh lahosif, and I want to add on to this, v'lomar to say, ki Olam Haba hu Olam Hamitzpon. It is a hidden, it's hidden. It's really definitely hidden from us. Al-Kain, efshar shiyeh nigla le-basar v'dam. It's impossible, since it's hidden, it's impossible for a human being to discover what's going on there. Shehu ba'olam hazeh, olam ha-nigla, because we are in the revealed world. Olam haba is in the secret world, beyond the curtain. So it's impossible. It's a world that entirely is dependent upon intellectual effort and emotional effort and spiritual effort in this world, in our spiritual pursuits. That's what it's all about. Umashagila b'shteya mitzvot hanal. So what these two mitzvahs reveal for us, matan scharan lo'olam haba. The schar for these mitzvahs is only in olam haba. Right? Now, I'll give you an example of why it's impossible for us to understand it. The Talmud there in Kiddushin gives a story about a father who commands his son to go. They're walking in the street, and he sees a bird's nest, and he commands his son, go and perform the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKeh. The child climbs up on a ladder to do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKeh, listening to the mitzvah of Kibbud Av, listens to his father, climbs up on the ladder, and falls to his death. So, what's going on? So, from that, the Gemara is giving us an example that Arichat Yamim, length of days, is talking about Olam Haba. It's certainly not talking about this world, right? Ein ze mahut ve'echut haschar. So, there's no relativity in the schar that we're aware of. We're certainly not aware of what it is, right? Impossible to know. That he's sort of answering this seeming contradiction. It's a level playing field, right? Yet, everything depends on our effort. So maybe it's not really a level playing field. But the fact is, we know that everyone gets a place in the world to come, but we don't know what that place is. We don't know what that reward is. That's what he says. Ela shebeschar hamitzvah yizkev yagil olam haba. The reward of doing a mitzvah is that we will, after 120 years, we'll get to olam haba. The world, that world which is completely good and eternal. Aval haschar sheyikabel sham, but the reward that we're going to get there, eif shalat sayer mahu, impossible to know what exactly it is. So on the one hand, we have to treat every mitzvah equally because every mitzvah will get us to olam haba. As far as what the reward we get there when we go get in the door, that we don't know. Visham bevadai ein schar shel zeh dom shel zeh. And one thing is for sure, the reward of one person is not going to be the same as the reward of another person. Vafilu b'mitzvah achat, even if they both perform the same mitzvah, shinir haschar lefi mahut ve'echut ha'asiyah. Depends on the effort, the quantity, and the quality of my performance of that mitzvah, right? Udvekut v'yira, the attachment I feel to God, v'yira ahava, the fear, the awe, the love, shahayu b'asiyatu, what did I really put into this mitzvah? Ki olam haba hu olam ha-mitzpon. It's hidden from us. It's a secret world. It's a mysterious world. V'zochin la b'shvil ha-mitzpon, shebe mitzvah. And we are, since it's a secret world, our merit in that world is from the hidden in our action. In other words, you see two people doing a mitzvah. We have no idea it's on the surface. It looks like they're both doing the same mitzvah. Two people are both keeping Shabbos. Two people are both keeping kashrus. Well, for as far as we're concerned, no. But there's what's behind their mitzvah observance, right? Right. And that's the Rambam says actually in Hilchos Tshuva. This time of year, we look at Hilchos Tshuva that only Yodea Ta'alumot knows the schar. The God is referred to as the Yodea Ta'alumot, who knows the secrets. In other words, we keep kosher here in Netanya. Pretty easy to keep kosher. But there's a guy living in Yopitz, you know, Wichita, Kansas. He doesn't have a kosher butcher. He's got a fly in his meat. he keeps kosher. And if he doesn't have meat for 3 weeks, you know, the meat gets spoiled, and he keeps kosher. So we can sort of figure out, it's almost a no-brainer, that I'm keeping kosher and he's keeping kosher. And maybe he doesn't keep any other mitzvahs. But whose reward is for the mitzvah of kosher? Whose reward is more? Obviously, his reward is infinitely greater. Now, we don't know that for a fact, but, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see where this is going, right? So that's what he's saying. Since the reward is secret, it's about what's behind the door of our mitzvah observance, not just the perfunctory observance of the mitzvah itself, right? Kamo shekatuv b'chov zavav, as he quotes a famous source, v'zeu shebe'mishnah, and that's what the Mishnah means, lefum tzara agla. According to the pain is the gain, right? According to the tzar is the schar. According to the pain is the gain, right? Now, right, let's finish. Aval lizachot lolam haba, to merit the world to come, who behechrech l'kol ha-mitzvot b'shava. To get in the door, all mitzvahs are equal. Don't waste your time trying to figure out which mitzvah should work on more than the other. Just do what we're supposed to do. Make every effort to do what we're supposed to do. Ukemo, we have to try, right? Ukemo shemashlo mashal, shekulam nichnasim b'shar echad. You know, there's a mashal. Everybody comes in the same door. Visham notin lekuli alma mador lefikvodo. And there, everybody's given a ticket, right? A seat. You get to sit in the box seat. Get to sit in the reds, the greens, the blues. You know, the stadiums they have that. But that's what happens once we get there. We all have time. We're not interested. We have time. But what we have to do now is work on what we do. In fact, you know, there's a pasuk in Parshat Ki Tavo, near the end of the parsha, which I haven't gotten to yet, in Gemar B'Sedra. But, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu is at the end of his life. And he's telling the Jewish people, you know, he tells them, I forget the exact words in the pasuk, but basically he tells them, you don't get it. You don't get it. You know, you haven't done enough chesed, you haven't done enough this, and you haven't attached yourself enough to God. He says, you don't get it, right? So the Medrash says, what is he telling them? What is Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people? Sorry, I can't remember the pasuk right now. But what is he saying? What don't they get? What don't they get? So the Medrash says, you know, I pray to God on behalf of 600,000 Jews. I got you out. I got you out of Egypt. And here we are. I'm not allowed to go into Israel. I'm not allowed to go into Eretz Israel. One person prayed for 600,000 people. And 600,000 people, why didn't you pray for them? Why didn't you pray for them? That's what the Medrash says. An unbelievable Medrash. That's what the Medrash says. Kicking myself that I can't remember the pasuk. But that's what the Medrash is saying. Why didn't you daven for me? Now, did Moshe Rabbeinu believe that really their tefillah would make a difference? I don't think so. He was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not going to get in, right? So maybe he didn't think that their tefillah was going to help. So what was he telling them? He's telling them that you have to make the effort. You have to make the effort. You have to try. It's not your business whether Rabbeinu Shalom is going to answer your tefillah. He's not going to answer your tefillah. But you have to make the effort. And this, by the way, is true in every single area in life. In interpersonal relations, husbands and wives, children, parents, community, tshuva, mitzvahs. And here, specifically, he's dealing with mitzvahs. One has to make the effort and not be concerned about which area I should work on, everything. Ubasher ha-Torah lo biyara el eschar. Since the Torah does not explain except the reward, therefore the Torah tells us this is where we're going to get our reward. What the reward is, I can't tell you. It's not your business. You don't have to worry about it. And with this, the Torah is telling us, It's impossible to know the Schar Ol Rabba. Hanelam, which is hidden, Lebasar Vadam, to us humans, our mortals, Ba'olam Hazeh in this world, Olam HaNigla in this revealed world. Shuv En Shayach Liot Yoshev U'Mishakel Eze Mitzvah Gedola V'Schar Merubah. So therefore, based on what we've learned, there's no way that we know which is the most important mitzvah. Who knows what's the most important mitzvah? Maybe one act of chesed, doing a chesed for a human being in need, is more important than the 39 melachos of Shabbos, right? No. Ba'asher zochin lo bishvil chelkei ha-mitzpon shebe-mitzvah. Because the reward is ultimately for the hidden aspect of the mitzvah. And we'll soon see something very special about if we have time. Bevadai shebeschar mitzvah ketana. Clearly, the reward for a seemingly quote-unquote small mitzvah, ela shene'asta beregesh ha-nefesh v'hitlahavut, a seemingly small mitzvah, but it's done with passion and with love, right? And burning desire, yitera yizkel rav tuv, tzapon. Clearly, that's going to get a big reward. Yoter mi b'shvil mitzvah gdola, rather than a great mitzvah, shenasi beregesh nefesh muad, which is done matter-of-factly. You know, I might have shared this with you once before, but the Rabbeinu Yonah, who was a Rishon, an early rabbi, and he explains a pasuk in Mishlei, Ish lefi mehalalo. Ish lefi mehalalo. What is Shlomo HaMelech, Chacham Mikol Adam, what is he trying to say? Ish lefi mehalalo. It's translated, a man, an Ish, is defined by mehalalo, by what he praises. Ish lefi mehalalo. Person is defined by what he considers to be important, right? He considers it to be important, right, to know the scores of the game, the baseball game, the soccer game, wherever we come from, right? And I'm not saying it's not so important, but is that the most important thing in life? Obviously not, right? But that's his whole life, is sports, right? So you know what this guy's all about, right? You know what he's about. But if his pursuits are spiritual, right? What does he praise? He's Ish Lefi Mahalalo, right? Ish Lefi Mahalalo, actually, I'm making a mistake. The general interpretation of that, the general translation of Ish Lefi Mahalalo is what people say about him. What people say about him. That's the direct, correct translation. Ish Lefi Mahalalo. What do people say about him? How is he praised? What praise do people heap on him? So depending on what people say about this guy, you can get a picture maybe of what this guy's about. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, it's the way I started. Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's no. It's what he praises. And Rav Huttner gives a beautiful example. There are two Jews sitting in a Beis Medrash, sitting in shul at night. One of them is an Amoritz, totally unschooled, unlettered Jew. He doesn't know how to learn a Pasuk Chumash. And he's there davening, and he's saying Tehillim. And then next to him, there's a Jew, a great Torah scholar, a Talmud Chacham, is sitting there, studying with his Gemara. And in walks a Torah scholar, a Talmud Chacham, a rabbi. And the simple Jew stands up. But the other Talmud Chacham, the scholar, machnet vissendik, as we say in Chinese. He pretends he doesn't even see him. Right? Who's the bigger person, says Rav Huttner? Who's the greater Ish? Obviously, the simple Jew. Because Ish lefi mahalala, you can see who this person is by what he gives kavod to. He gives kavod to Torah. This Talmud Chacham, he's not giving kavod to Torah. He's giving kavod to himself. I should stand up for him. He should stand up for me. Right? Ish lefi mahalala, what we consider to be, okay. Now, I want to move on. I want to get a little deeper into this ethic of a mitzvah. And let's talk about Torah and mitzvahs and in the world. There's a famous statement of the rabbis, Histakel be'oraita ubore alma, that God looked into the Torah and created the world. Now, Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch coined a phrase, a very famous phrase, and he's the one that coined it, that in other words, the Torah is the blueprint of the world. Now, what does that mean? that the Torah is the blueprint of the world. Generally, we think that history creates how we function, right? History creates how we function. I want to let you in on a secret. What creates the Torah and the mitzvahs that we do? What creates Jewish history and what has happened to us throughout the generations? It is the Torah. That's what it means, the Torah is the blueprint. I'm going to give you a very simple example. We celebrate a Pesach Seder to commemorate the fact that the Jewish people came out of Egypt. Where was the first Pesach Seder commemorated? In Egypt. So how do we understand that? If we're keeping the Seder because of the history of our Exodus, so right, the history is Mekadesh the Torah. But that's not what happened. We kept the Seder before we went out because Torah is Mekadesh history. Torah creates history. God created a history which will allow for the pieces of Torah to be lived, that the spiritual values that he wants to put in this world and to internalize in every human being, particularly Am Yisrael, he creates a history and a world to allow for the Kedusha, the sanctity, to come into being. Torah is the blueprint for the creation of the world. He looked in Torah and created a world. I want this concept of freedom, a people who are freed from slavery, to somehow be embedded into the Jewish persona. And I'm going to create an event, a history, that will create that sanctity, that Kedusha, right? So now, with that thought in mind, let's see a very simple medrash, and now we can perhaps appreciate that it's not so simple. Zesh Amar HaKatuv, the medrash says, Ki Leviat Chen Heim LaRoshecha. This is a medrash, by the way, in this week's Parsha, again, because all the mitzvahs, so many mitzvahs in the Parsha, we're not focusing on anything in particular, just a general concept. That, again, King Solomon says, Ki Leviat Chen Heim LaRoshecha, that the Torah is like a crown, a jewel on your head. Rabbanan Amri, the rabbis say, Nasa Divrei Torah Chen LaRashiyotecha. It's a play on the word Roshecha, also means rush. It has the same source. Rush is poverty. That the Torah will be a crown on your impoverishment, right? In one's old age, maybe. In one's retirement, maybe. But in one's weakness, the Torah will always be there. What do I mean, Ketza? Adam ben Torah, a person who all his life studied Torah, b'shashu mazkin, when he gets older, hakol boyin u'misavchin oto, and everybody comes to him, v'sholin oto divrei Torah, and they ask him Torah, right? So that, in that one example he's giving of this, right? Incidentally, I just want to point out a fascinating comment to the Maral. Why is there a mitzvah to honor an elder person? So, you know, give me an example. You can tell me what you think. Why do we honor elder people?
Shivrei Lutha.
Shivrei Lutha. Not close to the Sinai. He's farther away. Oh, the older person is close to the Sinai. Very good. That's nice.
Shivrei Lutha.
Shivrei Lutha. As much as, Shivrei Lutha, though, as much as the Lutha. It's not exactly. More. But you're saying he's close to the Sinai. Okay, let me tell you what the Maral says. It's good. Let me tell you what the Maral says. It's beautiful. And you're right, by the way, that the generation is closer to Sinai. And I'll tell you a little story about that in a minute. But the Maral says something very profound. When a person is old, when a person is younger, he's more physical. His physicality, his materialism, his material pursuits are stronger than his spiritual pursuits. Right? We're busy fighting that tension between our physical desires and our spiritual desires, right? As a person gets older, the older person, the zaken is zek kon chachma, he is more of a spiritual person and less of a physical person. His physical needs, his physicality has diminished, but his spirituality is at a peak if he's been doing the right thing. So therefore, and even, we're talking, by the way, the mitzvah to honor an old person. The halach in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not talking about honoring a Torah scholar. That's a separate chapter in the Shulchan Aruch. Honoring an elder man or an elder woman is a mitzvah in the Torah, v'hadarta p'nei zaken, and it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and it relates to the fact that because an elder person has more experience in the ways of life, and is more settled now, and is more whatever spirituality he has, it's dominant in his life rather than his physicality. That's the morale. Now, as far as this idea that you're suggesting, which is correct about the fact that he was closer to Sinai, there's a famous story about Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who was on a plane once, and because Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, if Darwin would have seen the Chafetz Chaim, he would have torn up his entire thesis. If he would have looked at the face of the Chafetz Chaim, he would have torn up his entire thesis, right? So Rabbi Yaakov told a story, Rabbi Kamenetz told a story, that he was on an airplane sitting next to somebody, and he was traveling to Eretz Yisrael. He was already, Rabbi Yaakov lived close to 100. And Rabbi Yaakov, they were going to Eretz Yisrael, and every 5-10 minutes, somebody else came to see how he was doing, right? He might have been sitting in business class, and everyone was coming. An older person was coming, a middle-aged person, a young child was coming, people were coming, check on him. So this guy was having a conversation with Yaakov about evolution, that he believes in evolution, you know? Mm-hmm. So these kids were going, so finally he said, who are all these people? He said, it's my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren coming to say I'm doing. Said, that's amazing. He says, I don't have a relationship like that with my family. He says, but of course you don't, because your children believe they come from monkeys. So the previous generation is not given the respect. It's all about me now, this generation, the next generation. We believe that there's generations are holier. As farther back we go, generationally, so that we honor the older people, right? That's just an story about about your idea. Okay, here's the thing. This is really what we want. Adam ben Torah, b'shah shehu mazkin, we said that already. Davar acher, another interpretation. Ma'u ki leviatche, what does it mean that the Torah will be a crown on our head? Amar Rabbi Pinchas ben Chama, the rabbi teaches. L'kol makom sheteleich, wherever you go, ha-mitzvot melavot otcha. Mitzvahs will follow. Whatever you do in this world, whatever one is doing in this world, there's a mitzvah to perform. Ki tivne bayit chadash, when you build a new house, va'asita maka legagecha, there's a mitzvah to put a roof around the top, to protect a fence around the top. So it's a mitzvah in the Torah, so someone doesn't fall. Im asita lecha delet, if you make a door, ha mitzvot milavot otcha, so the mitzvahs come with you. Shenemar v'chataftam al mezuzot peitecha, write a mezuzah. Im lavashta kelim chadashim, if you're putting on new clothing, ha-mitzvot milavot otcha. You have mitzvah, shenemar, lo tilbashatnes. You have to check to make sure it's not made from wool and linen. Im halcha legaleach. If you go to the barber, if you go to the barber shop, right? Ha-mitzvot milavot otcha. The mitzvahs come with you, shenemar, lo takifu pat roshechem. Don't cut off your sideburns. Don't round your head. V'im hayalcha sadeh. If you're a farmer, v'halachta lichrosh, you're going to plow. B'tocha ha-mitzvot melavot otcha, shenemar lo tachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachtav, don't plow with a mix of animals. V'im zarata, and you collected you harvested. Ota mitzvot melavot otcha, shenemar lo tizra karmacha kilayim, don't if you're planting rather, don't plant mix seeds. V'im katzarta, if you harvest. You have to leave over for the poor. Even if you're not doing anything, you're just taking a walk. You're just taking a walk in the street. Because the mitzvah Kan Sipur minayin shenemar ki yikra Kan Sipur l'fanecha. The mitzvah Kan Sipur of the mother bird is not on your property. It's in public property. So you're taking a walk and you see the bird of the mitzvah. So now, with the introduction we had before, you see this mitzvah is not, this medrash is not just a simple medrash telling us there's a mitzvah everywhere. The medrash is expanding on a much deeper concept. The mitzvahs were there before you took a walk. The mitzvahs were there before you farmed a field. The mitzvahs were there before you made clothing and tailored clothing and put on clothing. Our whole society, the whole functioning of the world, of the history of man, is built in order to fit in these spiritual principles. You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote a book, The Lonely Man of Faith. And in The Lonely Man of Faith, he says it very poetically. I could never match the way he said it. But basically, I'm going to paraphrase. You know, a person sees a sunset, and it is beautiful to us. Sunset is beautiful. But the Jew of Halakha, when he sees a sunset, he sees the beauty, but his first question is, did I daven mincha? Did I daven mincha yet? I have to daven mincha. Of course I appreciate the sunset, but the sunset is a reminder for me of Shkiat HaChama, which is the mitzvah of thanking God for Shkiat HaChama, right? Okay? Okay. Now, let's get a little bit further in this. I don't know if we're going to finish everything, but we'll do the best we can. The Maral says, Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. The mitzvah, this is a pasuk in Mishlei. We're doing a lot of This is a class tonight in Proverbs, in Mishlei. So Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or. The mitzvah is called a ner, the candle, and the Torah is called the light. V'derech chayim torchat musar. And the way of life is ethical teaching. Now, Hari Amar Himshila Chacham. This is a student of Rav Moshe Shapiro, who died this past year, one of the great Balei Machshov of the 21st century. And he presents some of his ideas. Hare himshel hachacham mikol adam et hamitzvah lener. And the mashal for mitzvah is the kli, the candle, the kelim hagashmiim, the physical candle, hamakablim et haor, the candle, the wicks, hamachzikim et haesh, which hold the fire, haptila, the wick, hashemen, the oil, hakli, ukedoma, the vessel, right, whatever. Ki adua miloshen hakodesh, ner, zehu, hakli, hamachzik et hashemen. What holds the oil. Lu'umat zot, on the other side, et haTorah, himshil shlomo hamelech l'or. The Torah is the light, the fire. Le'etzem ha'ara, the lightning, shall have it, the flame, right? This is the Maral. Now, next paragraph. Dimyon haTorah l'or. The fact that we compare Torah to or, to light, mipate gam bishma ba'aramit. It's interesting. In Aramaic, you've heard the word of oraita, right? Oraita is the Aramaic word for Torah. In fact, the Rav Amihud Levin, the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva in Netanya, right, Rav Amiud Levine, puts out a Torah journal every few years called Oraita. It's an excellent, and it's in Hebrew, it's an excellent journal. The last one was Achar HaShoah. It is a thick volume with articles post-Shoah, after Shoah, Torah discussions. In any case, Al Shem Haor, Oraita is called, right? Ukimokeng, and that Oraita is a word for Torah. Ukimokeng b'makom bo hinichu et luchot habrit. Where do we put the tablets? Shorish haTorah. Where do we put the Torah? Nikra Aron, from the word Or. The word Aron comes from Or, from the light of Torah, Al Shem Haor. Now, you have to understand that the light of Torah has two connotations, right? Umashmu'ut ha-dvarim, sha-Torah hi bechinat or mufshat ha-me'ir et enei ha-seichel. It lights up, right, our eyes. Begilui ha-metziut ha-amiti. So the word enlighten, heard of the word enlighten? From the word light, from or. Enlightenment, that's, again, that's the implication here. Torah or, the light of Torah, it's not just a physical light, but the Torah enlightens us. in a spiritual sense, in an intellectual sense, in an emotional sense. That is the translation of light, of Torah or, right? Mitziyut ha-kayemet ha-marechet b'marechet ruchnit, ruchanit, elyona shemavar l'marechet ha-gashmit ha-mucheshet. The ability to see, to move from this, to see the spiritual reality in our physical reality. Ha-Torah hi b'chinat ha-or. It's the light that we see in our finite world. We're able to take that flashlight called Torah and be enlightened by what's behind the curtain in the spiritual world and what God's will is, right? To give us lanu et ritzono yiparach. L'umat zot, the other side, ha-mitzvah doma l'ner. Mitzvah is the flashlight. The flashlight is the tool with which we get to the enlightenment. Lefisha al yada or haTorah motzeif sharut lachol al guf hagashmi. Through the ner, through the tool, the physical tool, we see the light. Hamitzvah meromemet et bechinat hamaisa shel adam. The mitzvah is the tool. By doing mitzvot, by performing mitzvot, we somehow see the nature of the light. We are enlightened by what's about the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not just about doing something physically, but it's about what it creates for us. It creates an enlightenment for us, a spirituality. Hamishayechet otah lemarechet ha'elyonah shel Torah. It connects us to the higher world of Torah. Kedei litom od me'omek ha'inyan. Let's go a little deeper, right? It actually filters the Torah into our world. The mitzvah filters the Torah into our world. Aleinu lihiponem b'shorash ha'musag ha'nikra mitzvot. Let's talk about the word mitzvah now. Let's talk about the word mitzvah. Let me ask you a question, he says. Niftach b'sheila. Klala mitzvot hein sivuyei haborei adam. What is a mitzvah? A commandment, right? Commandment, I'm just translating. I'm not defining. A mitzvah is a commandment. Wrong. Commandment in Hebrew is tzivui, not mitzvah. Tzivui is a commandment. So why are our commandments called mitzvah and not tzivui? V'achein lefi ha-diktuk, according to proper diktuk, ha-loshen ha-malei ha-nechona lo-otam tzivuyim, ha-ita tzricha liot tzivuyim. According to proper Hebrew, the commandment literally should be a tzivui, not a mitzvah. V'achein ha-shem ha-katuv lo-otam ma-arechet shel tzivuyim hu mitzvot. But it's not, it's called mitzvah. Mitzvot, why? Let me explain to you why. Al derech ha-katuv, Shomer mitzvah, if someone keeps a mitzvah, lo yeda davara, he will not know evil, will not know bad, will not know tragedy. Kamo shekatuv in Mishlei again, in Proverbs, vayirei mitzvah hu yishulam. If a person fears a mitzvah, he is a wholesome person, a whole person. Hamila mitzvah einenu muvanet, v'hi nireit ke'inyin nechona lechora b'mavchina l'tikdur. Now, what does it mean? I'm going to explain it to you, says. Ach habir hu, let me explain. Shebechol shutfut sheben shnei tzadim, yeshnan gimel bechinot. If there's a relationship between two people, there are three parts to that relationship. Hatzad harishon, first part. Hatzad hasheni, the second partner. V'hamatzav hakolel, and the arrangement between them. You have two partners, and there's a partnership. So partner A, partner B, and the partnership. Alone. And a borrower and a lender. The borrower, right, is the malve. The borrower is the love. The lender is the malve. And the loan is milva, milve, right? Malve, right, is the lender. Love is the borrower. Milva is the loan itself. All three. You need all three, right? And he quotes that here. That's all right? Zeu efo biur amila mitzvah. That's mitzvah. Mitzvah is not just a commandment. That's sivui. Mitzvah is part of a triangular relationship. There's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's the mitzaveh, and there is me who is the mitzuveh, the commandee, and then there's the mitzvah, which is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the, all three, right? He says like this, me put it, what am I putting in my words for? Zeh eifo biur hamila mitzvah. Hamore al hamatzav hakolel. Mitzvah represents shel kol gimel habchinot hakayamot b'marechet mitzvah. Mitzvah represents all three parties in this arrangement. Hamila mitzvah hi al mishkal hamila nuveh. It's like the loan. V'kolelet b'yachad el amat mitzvah mitzvah. When you say milva, when you say there's a loan, then you know the loan includes a borrower and a lender. That's the milva. It's the word that includes, encapsulates all three. Nimsa shehamila mitzvah. Comes out that mitzvah is much more than a commandment. Not just a commandment. It's creating an intimate relationship between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the term mitzvah. Nimsa shehamila mitzvah kolelet harbe me'ever le'etzem atzivu. It's much more than a commandment. He romezet el tochen pu'ulot ha-mitzvot. Shekein al yedei kiyum ha-mitzvot. When a person performs a mitzvah, notzar matzav shel chibur v'hitkashrut.